Good morning. Are you full of joy today?
Yes.
Are you full of joy today?
Yes.
If you're not, that's okay.
No,
but we're praying that by the end of the service, by the time we go out into the world, that you are full of joy. The message, the word for today is joy. Joy. It's Advent. It's the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a time for us as Christians to think about the gift that God gave to us through the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's more than just giving gifts. It's more than the lights and the decorations. It's about what God means to you in your heart, what you sense and you feel inside. That's the joy of Christmas. That's the joy of Christmas. First Sunday of Advent, I invite you to take a hymnal and turn to the reading on page 158. And when you find that, please stand. First Sunday of Advent, the reading is entitled, Our God Comes. And we will read it responsively. I will read the fine print and you read the bold print. This reading comes from scriptures found in the Old Testament. The Lord God of Israel said, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me.
A voice of one calling, you prepare the way of the Lord.
Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain.
And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
The sovereign Lord comes with power, and His heart rules for Him.
His reward is with Him, and His recompense accompanies Him. This is flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. Father, we thank You for giving to us the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. It's the most perfect, most amazing gift that's ever been received. And You are the giver of that gift. And Father, that giving speaks to us today. And in my heart, and I pray in our hearts, that we sense the joy in receiving that gift. There is great joy in receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For the words of this last past passage of Scripture are true for me and for us who believe. That we know that we are Your sheep and You are our shepherd. You tend the flock and You gather us as lambs in Your arms. And You carry us close to Your heart. Thank You for these words. Thank You for the message that they give to us today. Thank You for the joy that we experience. In Christ's name we pray today. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And now we give you the opportunity to worship by giving of tithes and offerings. God is good, isn't He? And I trust that you've received blessings, and now we give to God. Thank You, Father, for the blessings that You've extended to us, and now we give to You our tithes, we give to You our offerings. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we are obedient. Amen.
Thank you. God's plan in those ancient words was to send a Savior, someone who can rescue us.
Came down to find us, let us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. You, O Lord, have made a way, the great divide you. Were far away, your love went further still. Yes, your love goes further still, and you alone can rescue, you alone can save, you alone can lift us from the grave. Came down to find us, let us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise. We lift up our eyes to the giver of life. Lift up our eyes to the giver of life. We lift up our eyes to the giver of life. We lift up our eyes to the giver of life. And you alone can rescue, you alone can save. You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, let us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
Would you stand with us, please?
As we come to prayer time this morning, let me read for you the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. And this is Jesus speaking to people, just as His Spirit speaks to us today. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but you have seen the light of life." The light of Christmas. The candle is just a man-made thing that we say represents the light of Christ. And I trust and I pray for you that that light is shining in your life today. That the words of Jesus Christ are true for you today. That for those of us who follow Him will never walk in darkness. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for giving to us your Son, Jesus Christ. You decided to send Him as a baby. You are the one that spoke to Mary. You spoke to Joseph. The Christmas story is full of your Spirit, your presence, the relationship that you had with mankind. Whether it be the shepherds on the hillside listening to the angels, or whether it's the wise men coming from a far distance to find this king that they had heard about. They didn't know that it would be just a baby. They were being obedient to a light they saw in the sky. And they followed it. Father, I thank you for sending us Jesus Christ, your Son, who He Himself said He is the light of the world. And when we walk in His light, the light of Scripture, the light of the truth of Scripture, we will not be walking in darkness. We will not be stumbling and falling over the events of life. But your word, your promises are true for us, that you will raise us up above those events of life, and that you are our joy, you are our peace. And so, Father, we give you great praise today for the truth of Scripture. And not only just the truth of Scripture, but for the truth that we experience in our own lives. That even in the challenges we have in this life, your Spirit raises us above that, and we can give you praise, and we can say, thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you praise. Thank you for your Son who came to teach us, to show us, to be obedient to you, His Heavenly Father, even to the point of death. But thank you, Father, for raising Him from the dead, for blessing Him. And that promise to Him which you kept is good for us today. As we walk in the light of the truth of Scripture. And Father, for our congregation, for the community that we live in, who struggle with the issues of life. And we all do from time to time, because life happens. Let us look to the light. Let us look to your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us look to your Holy Word. And let it bring peace and joy to our lives, we pray today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you like the songs of Christmas? Okay, we've got one, we've got two, we've got three, we've got four, we've got five. I live in a house that I try to let her have her way most of the time. There could be Christmas music every day of the year, right? She will admit to that. Christmas music, there is something special about Christmas music, isn't there? Something special about singing these songs this morning. The Bible is full of songs. It's full of songs. I just noticed that the clock is down at the wall in the back. So if I speak too long this morning, somebody just go like this, real big like that, and then I'll know. Just kidding. Just kidding. Mike, that's your job, okay? All right. Anyway, back to the message of the day. Scripture is full of songs. Full of songs. And when I was thinking about the message today and the songs of Christmas, the songs that are in Scripture, and last Sunday we preached a message on Psalm 103, which this whole book of Psalms is songs. We don't know the melodies. We don't know what goes with it. We just have the words. Boy, someday I'm going to love it sitting down in heaven and listening to the music that went with the different psalms that the psalmist wrote for us. But yet the Bible contains a lot of songs. The first song mentioned in Scripture is found in Exodus chapter 15, and it's a song of Moses. A song that Moses sang, a song of praise to God for God's provision and care for the children of Israel, God's chosen people. And do you know that the last song mentioned in Scripture is also found in Revelation chapter 15? It's interesting, Exodus 15, Revelation 15. Now, we know they didn't write it that way, so mankind, when we edited out the Bible and made chapters and things like that, but that's just the way it ended up. It's also the song of Moses. The angels are singing that first song that Moses sang at the beginning. Look it up, Revelation 15. It says the angels are singing the song of Moses. And if you were to take the time and look through your Bible and make note of the songs, the praises of God, you would come up with about 185 plus or minus a few. The Bible is a book of giving praise to God. It is a book of songs, Spirit speaking to mankind, and in that spirit, the emotion of the moment, we sing praises to God. Over the next four Sundays, we are going to look at the four songs of Christmas. This morning it's going to be Mary's song, and next Sunday it's going to be Zechariah's song. The other day somebody asked me about the Christmas season and the messages, and I said, yeah, I'm going to speak. The second Sunday is going to be on Zacchaeus' song. And this person looked at me like, Zacchaeus had a song? No, we sing a song about Zacchaeus, but the Bible doesn't have Zacchaeus. It's Zechariah's song, okay? So if next Sunday you come back, because I might give you a laugh, I might inadvertently talk about Zacchaeus' song. But it's Zechariah's song. And then we're going to speak on the third Sunday about the angel's song, and then on the fourth Sunday of Advent, Simeon's song. And each song, even though they're similar in giving God praise, they come from different persons, different people, different perspectives of life. Even the angels give praise to God, they sing a song. Music. Just imagine what Christmas would be like without music. No songs of celebration. I'm not talking about the songs of the secular world, like Frosty the Snowman or I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Not those kinds of songs. I'm talking about the church songs, the songs that are in your hymnal. You know, no Perry Como, no Tony Bennett stuff. But yet the songs of the hymnal, the songs that were written giving praise to God our Heavenly Father. Imagine Christmas without O Come Emmanuel. That song doesn't exist. Can you imagine going through a Christmas season without singing any song of praise to God? Or if we don't sing the song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, would that make any difference to you? It may not. We probably, all of you, maybe have your favorite Christmas carol. But imagine what it would be like without the words of this song, Away in the Manger. How old were you the first time you sang that song or heard that song being sung? I was thinking about this the other day. Little boy, I don't know, I might have been four, five, six, somewhere in there. And we lived in a little town in southern Iowa. My dad pastored a church in a town that was about 15 miles away. And, of course, being in the pastor's family, every time there was a church service, we went to church. We didn't always do church when we went to church, being a kid, but we had to go to church. But on the way to that little town, I do remember, as we got into this neighboring town, at the edge of town, there was, if I remember right, it was like an old gas station, just a simple building. But they had taken the pumps out, And in front was a nativity scene. And it had the, it was like life-size figurines and bales of hay and stuff and lights. And I can still remember that as a little boy and then singing Away in the Manger. Had to be the first Christmas song that I ever sang. Away in the Manger, and thinking in my mind, that was the manger where Jesus was born. You know how as a child, those things come to your mind and you hold on to them as truth and they're really not, but that was the place that Jesus was born. That was, in my mind, Away in the Manger belonged to that spot. I can't imagine Christmas without singing Away in the Manger. Somehow music speaks to us, it speaks to me. How many times do you catch yourself singing a song containing a very particular God message, a passage of Scripture that speaks to you? Memorizing Scripture, putting a tune to it. I heard Stephen talk to Corey this morning about Spanish. And you spoke to Corey in the realm of taking a language and putting it to music or a song. Let it sing it. And how true that is, that in life, when we put words and melodies to things, it's easier to memorize. It's easier to put in our minds. So this morning we're going to look at Mary's song. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. And I'm going to read verses 46 through 55 for you. This is Mary's song. Mary's song. Luke chapter 1. Verses 46 through 55. Follow along as I read. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." Mary's song. Mary's song is similar to other songs found in the Old Testament. It's a song of praise. It's a song of joy. Many of the Psalms and other songs of Scripture are, as their theme, the message of them is to give praise to God. Yes, there are some psalms that you will read that are laments, lamenting. They're maybe a little complaining or whining, if you want to say that, to God, asking God for provision. But yet, most of the songs of Scripture, and this one in particular, is a hymn of a song of praise. Mary's song could have been a woe is me kind of a song. But she didn't make that choice. She didn't choose that. She chose not to focus on the unanswered questions found in the previous verses. If you go back, turn a page, well, I turned a page of my Bible, but if you go to verses 29 through 35 when the message is being given, boy, Mary had some things to say like, "Well, wait a minute, time out, angel. Don't you know I'm not married? Don't you know that I'm found to be with child and not being married? That's my whole livelihood. I could be thrown out of the city. Don't let this happen to me." That could have been the tone of her song. It could have been. Could have been a woe is me kind of a thing. She even says, it says in Scripture, that she was troubled in her spirit by the angel's visit. Boy, this message coming. Wait a minute. Really? This is going to happen to me? But yet in the song and in Mary's response to the angel, we know that she was full of praise. She was joyful because God's promise was being fulfilled through her. The promise to the whole nation that she belonged to, the people that she belonged to, those promises given in Scripture in the Old Testament were going to be fulfilled in the birth of her child. In verse 35 of this passage, the first chapter, let me read it for you. Verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Wow. What an amazing event. How would you respond? That would be quite an event, wouldn't it? How would you respond with that? Jewish people had been waiting to hear this word. The women of the Jewish faith back then, the race of Jews, they'd been waiting hundreds of years to hear this message. They didn't know how the Messiah was going to come. They assumed there was going to be a child. They were looking for a real king. But yet even the men of that culture and that faith, they were looking forward to hearing this message. For hundreds of years, they had been waiting for a sign. They had been waiting to hear that a Messiah, a baby, was going to be born. And here an angel is telling Mary, "Your son is the Son of God." And I would dare say that none of us here, the women that are here that have children, you've never given birth to the Son of God, have you? Now, maybe some of your sons think they are the Son of God, but that's okay, because we are. I was thinking about this morning. We claim to be the children of God, but yet when we say that we're the Son of God, somehow we kind of pull back from that a little bit. Like, oh no, I really can't be. Yes, you are. We are the children of God. And if we are the children of God, we are the sons and daughters of God. And the promises of Scripture that He gives to Mary and to everyone are good for the children that He has. And for those of us who believe in Him, we are those children of God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, though, was pulled out as the perfect, holy Son of God. Today, parents want their children to be the smartest. We want our children to be the fastest, most athletic. How many of you here this morning have children that are the most handsome, the prettiest of the species? Roger raised his hand. Laura's sitting right there. Zach, would you agree? Yeah. Okay. There we go. All right. We do that as parents, don't we? We want our children to be the smartest. We want them to be the sharpest pencil in the drawer. We have a grandson who is athletic. He's very gifted. He's only in the eighth grade, but this last year he was invited. Well, he was the starting quarterback for the junior varsity football team, and he was the second string varsity quarterback for the football team. This winter he will play on the junior varsity and varsity basketball team of the high school that he goes. He is talented beyond his age. Now, I'm his grandfather. What would you want me to say? He's all thumbs? No. It's Charlie. I've seen him play. And it's above the scale of the kids that he's playing with. But you know what? He's just a boy. And he's just a boy born to regular parents. Oh, yeah, he's been gifted. Probably because of the genes from his dad. But Charlie is just a boy. Regular parents. Mary's baby boy is, was, will be forever the Son of God. Forever special, the Son of God. The Messiah, the Savior that the Jewish people, the children of Israel, had been looking for. They had been waiting for it. And Jesus was the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of all of those promises found in the Old Testament. Just think about it. Think about your life and your birth. How many promises were kept when you were born? I can't think of any. I probably didn't even make my due date. I don't know. But then think about the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and every promise given in the Old Testament. Every prophecy of the Old Testament came true with the birth of Jesus Christ. Starting back in the book of Genesis, way back, God's promise to Abraham. For me, and I hope for you, Mary's song encourages me, encourages us to be positive in dealing with the challenges of life. Again, think about Mary, who she was, young, maybe betrothed, engaged to Joseph, but yet that was an arranged marriage, physically not coming together yet. And then this angel is telling her that she's going to have a child. Oh, that could mess up your world, couldn't it? Certainly it could. But Mary's song encourages us to be positive, even in the dark days of living life. Bad news comes to good people. Yes, it does. Mary's song is an encouragement for us to stay positive, because she had faith and she believed in a God who was a God who keeps His promises. Do you get excited when one of your friends makes a promise and they actually keep it? I know my friends get excited when I keep the promise that I make to them. And I would imagine that it's true for all of us. Because in life, people make promises to us and then they don't keep it. And then we feel the disappointment. And then sometimes we can just say, okay, it's just conversation. Don't even tell me that you're going to do something, but in reality, you're not going to do it. Mary could have had that attitude, but she didn't. And in this song, again, she encourages us to be positive. Why? Because she believed in God, our Heavenly Father. Mary is praising God more than just a God, the God, the only God who is holy. Look at verse 49. She knows God is holy. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. And in verses 51 and 52, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. She knows what her God is capable of doing. She knows what He has done. She knows that her God is strong and powerful. Mary's opinion of her God is a very positive opinion of her God. What's your opinion of your God? Do you see Him as positively as Mary does of her God? This song that she sings for us? God kept His promises to Moses. Mary knows that. She's read the Scripture. She knows who God is. She knows that He's strong. He's powerful. She believes in God. Look at verse 53. I'm going to read a couple verses here again. Speaking of God, He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. She knows her God. She knows her God. He's merciful. To Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. She is speaking to the faithfulness of God. Last week, Diana, Carol's sister, sang a song. And in that song, there was a transition to the words of the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." That is one of those songs that stirs me. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Wow. When she sang that, and that song transitioned to that song, my spirit was stirred. I was moved. I believed the words of that song. Those words of that song speak to me. I know that God is faithful. That's where Mary was. As she's singing this song, as she's saying these words, she believes each and every word that she's saying. She knows that her God is strong and powerful because He's demonstrated it for her. She knows that her God is merciful because she's seen it demonstrated to her people, the nation of Israel. And she knows that her God is faithful. And when your God is faithful, the promises that He says to you, He will keep. Mary is experiencing God's faithfulness here. She is acting on faith. She's heard from the angel, you're going to have a baby. And you're going to call Him, He will be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Okay, I'm your servant. She yields to the will of God. That's a faithful statement. God is faithful to keep His promises, but we, His children, must be faithful to Him, to believe in Him. How have you experienced God's faithfulness? If given the question, given the challenge, how would you fill in the blank? How would you fill in the blank? Is your God faithful? Oh yeah, my God's faithful. Yep, I'll raise my hand. Well, how has He been faithful to you? Would you struggle to fill in the blank? Or have you thought about it? Have you contemplated as Mary contemplated on it? You said, well, man, God. Yeah, He was faithful. He was faithful to me. He was faithful. He's done this, this, and this, and this, and we all have different things to fill in the blank. Is your God faithful? Would you say, yes, my God is faithful? As Mary said it about her God. She didn't sing a song of despair. She sang a song of great is thy faithfulness. She could have sung a song of despair. She could have sung a song of defiant attitude, gloom and doom. A song focused on the circumstances of life. Don't you think that if you read Luke chapter 1, just the first verse or the verses there where the angel comes and speaks to her, if you're a country western fan, that would make a pretty good country western song, wouldn't it? You could probably put pretty good words in there. You could make a good tune out of that. But Mary did not choose to go down that path. She knows who her God is. And then the attitude of her heart, the attitude of her words comes through. Even in the circumstances of life, your life, do we dare to rise above them and know that God is a God who will keep His promises and He is the God who will give us joy? Joy, deep down joy, not just the superficial happiness. I got a happy meal, whoopee. But yet joy deep down inside. That no matter what happens in life, we can rise above it. He will raise us above the circumstances of life. Mary's faith was in her God. And in that she found joy, she found peace. What promises of God are being fulfilled in your life? There's another tough question. How would you fill in the blank about the faithfulness of God to you? How would you tell a friend of God's faithfulness to you? And then the second thing to think about this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, even right now, think about this. What promises of God are being fulfilled in your life? Promises of God, promises found in Scripture. How are they being fulfilled in your life? Something to think about. Mary's song was a song full of joy. And we're going to close the service this morning by singing Joy to the World. I want you to get your hymnal. It's on page 173. We're going to invite the worship team to come back. We're going to sing Joy to the World. Now, to sing this, if you have joy in your heart, we should just rock the windows, maybe knock some mortar out of the block. Joy to the World. Do you really have joy to the world, or is it just like, oh, okay? Joy to the world. Let it be a reflection of your life. Let it be a reflection of the God that you serve, a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is ever-present in your life. He's a God who keeps His promises to you. Joy to the World, hymn number 173, and please stand.
We'll be doing verses 1 and 4.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
You are the wonders of His love. That should put joy in your heart. Okay? And when you leave this place, we the Christians, the disciples of Jesus Christ, His sons and daughters, we must be, we should be, we must be the most joyful people on earth. Amen? Do you believe it? Go live it. Be blessed. See you tonight. I saw your father.